You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Glory Hole Radio Network, gloryholeradio.com.
You know what, dude?
I know why I'm a little nervous, because there's a lot going on, and
see that?
I hear
and everybody
shit.
Takes Opie for granted.
Right.
Opie, I see what it is that you do.
Jesus,
what just happened?
Christ. There's a lot of shit going on.
This is like
on.
That scene in Private Parts, the first time he does radio.
Oh, yeah.
Records are scratching.
I have no idea if this is working. If this is, if you guys are listening to this, we just tweeted it out. Joe tweeted it out. Bill, of course not. Gonna keep your fans
tweeting,
Bobby. If it's working, tweet
me. You want me to tweet it so you can get some people, more people listen? I would have done that if you asked me.
I just did, fucking cunt.
No, but you asked me in a douchey way.
Yeah, tweet me and Bob if it's working. And then we'll know if it's working, if you're listening.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying that I should have told my podcast listeners
now
to listen to me be on a podcast. It's exactly what you said.
No,
and if you didn't say it, you were insinuating it. You never liked me.
I've never liked you. So I think this is live. Someone just texted me that it's actually live and it's going through.
We'll do it live.
If it fucks up, though, if it starts stuttering, just refresh the page and it fixes it. So I don't want fucking panicking emails from people. Just refresh your page.
Okay.
But it's live. And
you ever think anybody's going to panic email you if it cuts
really?
Out suddenly?
You want to check the emails? I panicked. I had two donations. I had two donations. We made $40 this month.
Don't leave me with the entire rest of the internet.
Yeah, dude. It's not the fucking national disaster feed that comes to your TV.
I don't like how Bobby's a little nervous right now and he's putting it on everybody else, including his listeners.
Yeah, we're live, Bill.
Bob,
we're live.
We'll do it live. Listen, just settle in, Bob.
All right, let's
relax.
Settle in.
You're making
let's
me
in.
Nervous. Well, you've got to stop smoking your cigarette like Cruella
I'm
DeVille.
I'm quitting on fucking Thursday, you cunt.
Did I step on the line? Don't quit. Can you not quit on Thursday? Bobby's quitting Thursday smoking, everybody. Don't quit. Because then I'm out there alone.
Who
and
says
I'm
that?
Selfish.
Who says that?
The same reason why you got mad at me when I started going to the gym. And you said it disgusted you and you were angry that I was like trying to get healthy. I don't want you to quit smoking. You're my smoking friend. We smoke together.
It's all over. Now
you
I'm,
guys
I'm,
are going to have
I'm
open
not,
heart surgery together.
I'm done, Joe. Because I feel pains in my chest. I don't feel right anymore. It doesn't feel good smoking. Like even now I'm smoking. I've tried not to have a cigarette in the last 3 hours, and I have to have it. This sucks. I hate it.
God, you guys are so weak.
Yeah, I'm not.
We're what?
You're weak.
Why are we weak?
You're weak people. The only reason why the two of you exist is because of, like, penicillin and all those types of new inventions. Guys like you would have died by the time you were 12 back in the day.
You would have been dead, too.
I wouldn't have.
You just quit everything recently.
What are you talking about?
You would have been dead. You were boozing
it
up for years.
I would have been a gunslinger drinking whiskey.
A gunslinger. What would Burr have been like in the Old West?
I'm telling you, dude, this oil shit's evil.
Bobby would have been all over it.
I'm not falling for it.
Dude, it's the latest technology, dude. Dude, get a Facebook oil page. I'm telling you, dude. There will be blood, dude.
I got to do all this shit.
What Joe, you would have definitely wore one of those derbies.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, he would have had a vest. He would have had a vest, too.
I would have been the guy selling tonic.
I would have been.
This will make you shoot fast.
I would have been a farmer.
You probably would have been.
German, Irish. I would have been a farmer. Bob would have been, I don't know, Bob would have been in vaudeville.
Bobby would have been, Bobby would have been lynched by the time he was 16 for some bank robbery or something.
Yeah, he looks like he's got a little Native American.
I'd be the guy in the town that own the fucking roulette table, but then the real tough guys come in and just slap me in the face and go, "We own it now." And I just have to take it.
Wait a minute.
I wouldn't see you doing that.
We talked about this before.
I like how you just picked something.
What?
We talked about this on the podcast before when you weren't here, Bill, about who we would be in the Old West. And I decided Bobby would be the fat Mexican bartender that gets scared when the shootout happens. Oh, we don't want no trouble.
No, I wouldn't. Joe wouldn't even make
He's
it.
He's saying you're like, you look like Freddie Fender. You grew your hair back. That's
Joe would have died on the way to wherever their family was going. He would have just been dead.
Guys like Joe don't die. Joe's like I don't know what he is. He's just one of those guys. He'd be, hey, guys. He would somehow... He'd somehow figure his way to how to snake his way through it.
Yeah, he'd be a worm. He'd be an absolute worm.
He'd have a vest.
Yeah. The guy that hired the gunslinger to clean out the fucking bad people but then tried to fucking get him killed.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that flashback to one of the first times I ever met this fucking piece of shit, Joe DeRosa?
Right.
I was moving. I had a fifth floor walk up. So I called Steve Byrne. I called You know when you move from a fifth floor walk up, you got to call
on the
like,
east side.
Yeah, you got to call up that. Like 20 guys, so five people will show up.
Right.
So Big J fucking brought DeRosa along, and you just want to talk about fucking useless. Steve Byrne was an animal. Big J was great, and I forget who else was there. But Joe, what he would do was he would just stand looking at boxes like with this confused look on his face, like he was trying to figure something out. He was totally fucking dogging it. Dude, you got to understand, these guys were all new to the city, not Steve Byrne, but those other guys. So half of them showed up thinking that they were going to get road work out of it. And Joe, from day one, was just an arrogant cunt. He just weighed them both out like, you know... Five floor walk up, middle work, it'll all work out. I'm not fucking doing this.
I broke something.
You did,
too.
Yeah, and he broke something.
I broke the glass on one of your pictures. Like the, you know, was it one of the like a glassed in picture in the frame?
Yeah.
And I broke it, and you got upset. And I said it was like that. I tried to lie and say that it was like that.
Yeah, you come a long way. You really were a Philly piece of shit when I first met you.
Yeah, I was a worm, man. I was a worm. I don't think I'm so bad these days.
No, no, you kind of grew out of that. You were a little bit of a dirtbag.
Oh, yeah, what do you mean, Joe? A dirtbag? Well, I don't understand.
He fucking broke my picture and then tried to say it was like that.
He's like, wait a minute, the picture, dude. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I think it was busted when I picked it up.
So you lied?
You know, I got to be honest. To this day,
Joe's tell is when he squints his eyes and his eyebrows touch. Yeah. It's over.
No, it's when he says, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
No one who's honest has to say, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, anybody. Or you go, seriously? You're just buying time as you put together the lie?
I swear to God, no bullshit. I would have no problem telling you if I broke it because it would be way funnier and I would enjoy laughing more. Like, I broke it and I lied. I can't remember if I hit it on something and it broke.
Every great friend of my life
really
has broken something. You fucking smashed my fan.
I did. I smashed your fan.
And to this day, he sticks by the story. I woke up in a fluster.
Yeah, I saw him tell you that story in Montreal. I didn't believe it.
It's an absolute fact. Why would I lie about it 10 years later?
Because, Bob, that's what finally convinced me. But
that must have been
a hell of a fluster.
Well, here, because that fucking door, nobody came to our apartment. Nobody knocked on the fucking door.
Yeah, they did all the time.
For you, I had no friends. And if that doorbell fucking, if that doorbell rang and I was sleeping on that hot couch... With the fucking steam.
Yeah, we had this radiator from like the fucking Ralph Cramden honeymoon. The thing was evil, dude. This thing would be like, and it would, once that thing got going, it was like a fucking sauna in there.
It paralyzed you.
Oh, dude, you couldn't get up. Violent dreams.
You couldn't get up.
Really?
You were just stuck on that couch.
And there was no way to shut the fucking thing off.
No way.
It was awful. And in the summertime, we had no air conditioning, and it became hot again. Like, dude, the fact that how we didn't end up killing each other. We came close.
A couple times, yeah. Yeah, but it was fucking, I mean, for the 99% of the time, it was fun.
It's a fucking great
fucking
time.
Blast. We used to play roller hockey. We used to,
it was the
90s. Used to fly down the fucking street on rollerblades. But, like, through traffic. Remember that shit?
How many people are calling us gay right now?
Yeah, fuck that.
You know what I love about rollerblades? They sold, like, 90 million of them, and then once everybody threw them in the back of the closet, they just wait till somebody admits that they had them. We actually had the cool ones. We had the hockey ones.
We had hockey ones,
with the no brakes on them.
No brakes at all.
How did you pull off playing roller hockey in the street in New York?
No, we used to play in the park.
We used to play in a park. It was like a basketball court. With no basketball rims.
You remember that shit? We were in the prime of our lives and all those fucking women we'd be getting off of work and they'd cut through the park.
Yeah.
You get all those smiles. Oh, Joe, back in the day, we both had full heads of hair.
Oh my God. Boy. I had gorgeous hair.
I know.
Fucking gorgeous hair.
Yeah.
We used to play roller hockey. I mean, like badass. and we'd fly down the street. Remember coming down the street, down the hill, and no brakes?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even fucking dream of doing that right now.
No, there's no fucking way.
I would never, I wouldn't even go be on a Segway right now in New York City. We used to fucking blast down Third Avenue.
No one has
Lex.
More courage than poor people.
Oh.
We didn't give a fuck. There was nothing to lose. What the fuck were you going to lose? My awful plaid shirts I used to wear back then?
I was never a big athlete, guys.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't even fucking acknowledge that.
And but I can say that, you know, that this hearing that does make me a little nostalgic for...
Did it remind you of a movie, Joe?
No.
Where are we going?
Did
movie
it remind you
booze?
Of college, Joe?
It's,
when
no.
When you used to get drunk and pull your dick out?
You love that story.
Fucking great. Don't, you ever hear
don't
that
turn
story?
On it now.
Joe has three areas he goes in any conversation. Movies, booze, or his college time in Texas.
No, I lived in Texas. I
went lived
to college
in Texas.
Did he ever tell you about his well, fucking...
Yeah,
his,
all that shit.
Joe and his dick are here.
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't.
Never heard that?
I used to get... We used to all hang out in one dorm room on our hall. Everybody would hang out. And me and my friend would set it up. I'd go, all right, dude, you know what to do. We're going to do it. You go, all right. And I'd go outside. I'd take off all my clothes, buck naked. I'd knock on the door, and my friend Jim would go, come in. And I'd burst through the door totally naked, dancing like this.
Oh, Jesus.
And he would go, hey, look, everybody, it's Joe and his cock. Joe and his cock are here. Say hi, everybody.
Were there women there?
No, it was all dudes. We'd laugh our balls off. And there was this big dude named Steve, this big German kid, man, fucking biggest kid I've ever seen in my life. And the first time we did it, he got so disgusted. He was like, bunch of goddamn fucking queers. I'm getting the fuck out of here, right? And he left. And I swear to God, by the end of the semester, he'd be like, Joe, do Joe and his cock.
That's the funniest thing ever. I've done so many fucking podcasts. I think I'm out of stories, so I got to tell this one again. One time, it was you, me, and Tony Moschetto. We lived up on 97th Street. It was like the perfect summer fucking day. And for once, we weren't going to go out to the clubs. I forget what the fuck we were
going to
do. We'd already planned it.
We were going to
watch
a Red Sox game.
Up at Yankee Stadium.
We were going to a Red Sox game.
Dude, and it was the perfect spring day. You just were psyched. It was a brutal winter. And it was awesome. The windows were open. We just had great food. And then the ticket showed up and I was just like, dude, it doesn't get any better than this. And Bobby was wearing tearaway pants with nothing underneath it, and he just stands up. He goes, it doesn't get any better than this. And he fucking rips his pants off. Dude, like me and Tony, like, I literally fell on the fucking floor laughing. Because after he did it, he stood there with this stupid look on his fucking face.
Oh, that's hilarious. When I lived with a...
I bombed. Anytime when he has lived, to go, that's hilarious. You move on to the next one.
When I lived with Okerson, he was sitting at the computer one day, and he had a swivel chair.
Boo.
What?
That fucking mitten-wearing asshole.
He was sitting at... You'll appreciate this. It's funny. He was sitting at the computer in a swivel chair. I took my pants down, and I went right up next to him. I put my dick right on his shoulder, and I go, Jay, and he goes, what? Fucking hit him in the cheek.
That's fucked up, dude. I would get fucking angry with
you.
Oh,
yeah,
we laughed our balls off. You'd laugh your balls off. It's
you know
fucking hilarious.
You know what's funny about Joe is Joe never played sports, but he has that total football player humor. That's all those guys used to do. I remember, like, in my school, when they used to fucking pledge, like, the football players, the amount of fucking, like, it was just...
At Emerson?
No.
Where'd you go? Emerson, right?
No.
I was going to say Emerson.
No, I'm talking high school. Talking high school. Jesus Christ, Bob. You put my whole life out there. You Social Security?
You don't tell people know you go to Emerson, right?
Well, they do now.
Dude, that's a fucking... That's a crazy, honorable thing to have. The biggest stars in comedy went to Emerson.
Who went to Emerson?
Dennis Leary, Anthony Clark. That's it.
Oh, jeez.
Stephen Wright.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Emerson's a fucking badass school.
So anyways, in high school, dude, when they used to
can
pledge,
I say Emerson one more time?
I'm just fucking with you, dude. I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, dude, like when they used to, the incoming freshman or sophomore, whoever, were trying to play varsity, I remember them coming back talking about all the hazing shit that they did, and all of it was borderline something that the village people would do. It all involved, you know, sticking a cheese ball between your ass cheeks, and you had to run the length and drop it into a Dixie cup. And it was all this, let's humiliate them. But it was like, if you filmed it, you could sell it down in Chelsea.
Dick humor's it's hilarious. It makes me laugh every fucking
time. Dick humor's funny, but farts are fucking hilarious. I farted on O&A today, just a small little one. Mm-hmm. And it filled the room up, but it took like 5 minutes. And they were in this middle, Schumer and this lady. We're in the middle of this fucking conversation about men and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it was just, you could just see their faces start to twinge. And then just, what the fuck? Did somebody fart? And I was like, it's me. I did. And they were, Schumer had to leave the room. Oh, it's fucking brilliant.
I love farts and dicks. I mean, I put dicks over farts. For comedy.
You
I
love
put dicks
farts
over
and
the
dicks?
Farts. For dicks, it's so funny, man. It's so funny when a guy makes you look at his dick. It's funny, man. I wish I had my dick out right now when you looked down, because it would have been hilarious.
Look at Bill. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll throw a glass at you, Joe.
If you took... Yeah, Billy's never been...
He's
Billy's
not,
a fucking... Billy's a man. He doesn't fuck around. That's like silly shit. I'm into it. I agree. I fucking...
No.
I whip my dick
out.
It's
fun. But it's, we're in this fucking little apartment.
My wife's downstairs, too,
yeah,
which
your
would fucking
wife
make me
is
mad.
Downstairs.
Hey, and, you wouldn't want... And dude, I seriously, I don't...
It wouldn't make you mad.
And I'm 40 fucking three.
She's
does anybody care what I say
I don't
on
even,
this
I don't
podcast?
Even want it.
I don't think they do. I'm
saying
you're
you
not
want
even
it.
Listening to me.
I'm sorry, Bill.
You know what it is? We don't have on headphones. I guess this is why we wear headphones, because you can't hear anything. It's kind of good. When you guys talk, I can shit on you underneath. Go ahead. Have your conversation.
So fuck all this shit. Bill, you did Letterman tonight.
Yes, I did.
That's the third Letterman. Crazy?
Yeah. No, it's one of the most... It went awesome, but it's like... I was joking with Greg Charles down at Caroline's that like doing 4.5-minute sets on a show like that, that's like the stand-up equivalent to like being a relief pitcher. It's just so quick. You go in and you just can't fuck up. If you screw up a joke, that's like you walked a batter. You're like, all right, just, you know, let that go. And, you know, I messed one joke I messed up a little bit, but I kind of, yeah, I figured out between this one and the last one how to do it. I was always coming in there with stand-up comedy club energy, and it just doesn't work because they're such a hot crowd that they applaud, and it messes up your timing. You got to like almost like host the show. You do like a monologue. It's funny, like when I was doing Opie and Anthony, we were watching Rich Little. That's where it clicked. I was like, look how slow he's going, and he's killing. And then from then on out, like I've had much better sets on the show. But I got to tell you, dude, every time I go to do it, like at some point I fucking freak out and have a meltdown.
Really?
Like I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ, why the fuck am I doing this? Why didn't I be a manager and I could be the guy in the fucking green room going, okay, go out there and have a good set.
Right, you know,
eating cookies and having a good fucking time. Why did I have to be this guy who goes out there? And then of course you get out there and you get a couple of laughs and you're like, this is fucking awesome. But at one point I always will have that, you know, I want to go home and crawl into my bed under the covers. I'm not gonna lie to you.
4 minutes. Why is it we can go into a fucking club anywhere in the country, go up after anybody, do an hour, and I mean, look, I get nervous a little bit, but not really. You know, you're gonna fucking do it, sink or swim. It doesn't matter,
right?
But that 4 minutes on TV, it's 4 fucking minutes. Been doing this for 20 years. When I did Carson Daly, dude, Carson Daly ain't shit. Nobody watches it. It doesn't fucking matter. It's like, I'm cool. And then when they go, are you ready? Something happens. You start to get a little fucking nervous.
It's being documented. And like when you go stand up in a club, even if they just said go up and go do 4 minutes, like down Caroline's, you just go up and go do it. It's the fact that it's being filmed and it's being documented. And if you eat your balls, that is in your little Smithsonian catalog.
You know what fucking is rules? When there's regularly...
Yep.
Like when I do the gala in Montreal, I do the nasty show, I'm fine.
Right.
But when there's rules, when like, don't say this or don't do that, you can't. It fucks with my head sometimes.
Yeah, it's claustrophobic.
Fucked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the only TV things I never gave a shit about was when they taped the nasty show for HBO Canada. Because you were like, yeah, who gives a fuck? I'm just going out and doing the nasty. I could say whatever I want. Even if somebody heckles me, I can trash them.
Right.
You know, when they tell you it's 4 minutes, squeaky clean, don't address the audience, don't do that. You know, that's like being a cop and they're going, go in there, there's a guy in there with a gun.
Yeah. No,
you got to take him down, but you can only use these three methods. That's fucking scary.
I actually started doing this thing. I did it on Carson Daly because, you know, we always have the mics with the cords. Uh-huh. I got so nervous while I was out there because they, on Carson Daly, it was the worst.
Have you? I loved doing that show.
They did no warm up. No,
that show. Do you know Tom Papa told me? He goes, when that show was on, he goes, I used to always he'd look at the lineup every week, and he'd look for one of his friends to be on there and just watch him bomb. And like, because he used to bomb on everybody. Yeah. It wasn't even like you bombed. You'd bomb, and Carson would laugh, and the band would laugh, but the crowd wasn't mic'd. Remember they had these metal folding chairs.
Yeah,
and it was all 16-year-old girls
waiting to see the band, whatever alt band.
And his energy, he has like the, his energy is like, who's that guy, Charlie Rose?
Yeah.
It was like he that's his style of doing. So I always felt that like when I was going out there to do comedy, it was just like it was almost obnoxious. Because they would be saying, oh, that's great. You got the album coming out. I'm telling you, man, every time I see you, just making better music. Okay, coming up now, the comedy. And I just felt like I had a fucking lampshade on my head. Like, yeah, what the fuck is with Dude, cell phones?
I did this thing the first time I went out there. I got so nervous that when I, you know, when you have the mic, when you do this.
Yep.
And you kind of, you shake the mic to get the mic cord out of wherever fucking tangle it's in when you're walking around the stage.
Uh-huh.
I started fucking shaking. I had the mic in my hand and I would do this after the joke. I would just shake the mic like I had a cord. I came off and my manager was like, what the fuck was that? And when we watched it, just me after every joke kind of just shaking the microphone.
That's fucking hilarious.
And then the second time I went out, I did it again. And he would tell, dude, don't do that. I got it. Fuck you. Fuck. I'm out there and I did it one time. I shook it. And then the third time, I did it three times. The third time, I finally didn't give a fuck. Kevin Bacon and his brother's band.
Brothers, yeah.
I fucking started smashing them and making fun of Footloose.
Right.
And I didn't give a fuck because I knew it didn't matter. But that was my first TV legitimate, besides Premium Blend. But right.
No. I remember one of your first ones.
Beach House. I have it on tape at home.
Really?
This poor bastard.
I remember that.
He did Jim Brewer's Beach House for some reason. What channel was that on?
MTV.
MTV. Let's put stand-up comedy outside during the day on a beach. And you know what's the great thing about Brewer is he would still kill.
I know.
It's like he's in a tropical storm and he's still killing. So he brings out Bobby. And Bobby crushed. And I know he crushed because he came home totally excited. Or crushed for that level of your thing, right?
They were 100. It was 100 degrees out. The kids were out there all day. They had to spray them down with super soakers. These just 19-year-old hot Jersey broads sitting on the sand. And the sun was facing you. So you couldn't see. So you're out there squinting your eyes. And they're literally spraying these hot kids down as you're doing your show.
And they're all shit-faced on top of it because it's spring break.
Well, by the time I got up, they were like off their high. They were just hot and dehydrated.
Ugh.
And they were, you know, they know TV doesn't give a fuck. They're like, we need you, you know, come on, pep it up. Oh, fuck me, dude. Then you had to sit on a swing with Brewer and he interviewed you.
Dude, all I remember was Bobby came home and he was excited because despite all of that, he had a good set. So he called all his family and friends to watch it. Mm. And then we sat and we watched on this little kitchen TV that I had. And he's sitting there watching and I'm getting all excited to see him kill on this thing. And they hadn't mic'd the crowd. And I could tell by his face he was doing all right. But when you watched it at home, it looked like he's eating his balls. And I watched Bobby's smile slowly, like just completely deflated. And the worst part was it ended and the phone didn't ring. Nobody called. His mom, nobody fucking called. Not because they're assholes. They just didn't know what to say. And then I was just sitting there going like, dude, that was good. And you were like, no, it wasn't.
Jesus Christ.
20 seconds later, this jackass has ordered like $50 worth of Chinese food.
Jesus Christ.
That was early on, 97, 98.
My first Carson, I bombed. My jokes were bombing. The first one out of the gate bombed. Second one bombed. I trickled out a couple more. It was a bad set. I'm shaking my hand.
Right.
I go to the cellar. They're airing it on Friday night. We're at the cellar. It's on both TVs. Someone found out that I was on Carson Daly. They asked me, put it on, put it on. I want to see Robert.
Oh, and the second you go, no, she goes, oh, put it on.
Put it on, right?
Good.
But I saving grace, there's no volume. So they just watch you at the cellar on it, and they read the closed caption. Right? Fine. They're going to read my jokes. laugh, laugh, laugh. This cunt on the first joke wrote light laughter. Steve Byrne was Steve Byrne was right next to me and went, fucking you bombed. He just started laughing.
That is funny, man.
Even the guy writing it knew I was bombing.
Jesus Christ.
They have to let deaf people know how bad you're doing too.
Nah, that's a fucking dick move. You know he's just a dick who's up fucking at 1 a.m. having to type
the second
shit.
Anybody writes anything about you, it's never wire to wire a good thing. Someone wrote this great review of my some stand-up show I did, but even then they had to like take a shot of how I looked. You know, his big head lumbers around the stage.
Where does it come from, though? What happened to, like, Elvis fans?
Dude, I would pay someone for a fluff piece. At some point, I would just love to be able to read. And that's why you can't fucking read them.
Speaking of which.
What?
I have a hate mail that I received.
Really?
No, Joe, you?
Yes.
Fucking sweetheart
like
you?
As we talked about this. Because we've got, yeah, this is right on fucking subject.
Joe, no one was saying you were taking it off subject.
No, I'm just happy you mentioned it because I was like, oh, maybe I can read. Because I wrote a retort to the hate mail, then I didn't send it.
You never write them back.
This kid writes
to me.
They
know you read it.
Yeah, well, he's going to know now if he's listening to this. But this kid writes to me. We've been getting so many nice messages about this podcast. And this kid...
Really? It's awful.
Yeah, I know. It stinks. But, you know, low expectations.
Bobby lost in his cell phone.
Yeah, look.
I'm just reading these fucking tweets from people right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we're talking about... I know that if I go to this Twitter, people are going to be like...
Why can't we just be in the moment here, Bob, and just do a fucking show?
Because this is my podcast, Bill, and I gotta work it out.
Well, you were listening when he was talking. Maybe you can listen when I'm talking.
I'm Opie right now. You're Anthony, and you're Norton. I'm running the board. I'm making sure the show
works. I'm Anthony.
No, he's Anthony.
I'm here every week with you.
Joe.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
Joe, no matter how long you're in this business. Here we go, Bob.
No matter how long you're in this business,
you're always going to be behind me and Bob. That's just how it is. You're always going to be the little brother.
Yeah. All right.
Director.
So this kid this kid sends me an email and he writes, hey, DeRosa, I just listened to you on Bill Burr's podcast when you and the one where you and Bobby Kelly were on together. You're a pussy, man. Grow some balls.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what we were trying to tell you on that podcast.
Okay, so this is the retort I wrote, but I didn't send it. I wrote, Mark, thank you for your email, man. Sincerely, it's rare that I get honest feedback from the audience, and I love the rare occasions that I do. I mean, usually for career advice, I go to my manager or agent or a fellow comedian.
Oh, he's going
to
go obnoxious.
Or anybody at all in the fucking world with an ounce of showbiz experience. But it's really refreshing when a totally clueless putz like yourself chimes in. It exposes me to a fresh perspective, one that, due to its utter stupidity, is so infrequently voiced. Also, just to clarify, what kind of balls do I need to grow? The kind that let me be a tough guy like you? After all, you did figure out how to be confrontational in the most pussy way possible over email. Oh, you big, strong man, you. So in case you haven't gathered yet, you're a douche, and that's a fact. It's not that I think you're a douche. You are a douche, definitely, without question. Just enjoy knowing that.
No, Jesus, Joe. Get to the end.
Just offering an outsider's perspective. You should understand what that's all about. Boom.
Touché. Joe, once you said putts, it's over.
Now go and fuck off, asshole.
You shouldn't have said putts.
I didn't send it. I just wrote it to make myself feel better.
What are you, fucking Mel Brooks?
Huh?
Yeah, why did you read it to us, though, if you didn't send it? Hit send.
No.
No, don't do that.
I thought we would just enjoy hearing it.
Joe, you know how psyched I would be as a listener to know that you fucking wrote the Declaration of Independence to a fucking 5 words that I sent. You grow a dick, you suck, and then you're going to write.
I'm
sick of it, though.
Joe, how long did it take you to write that? How much time in your life did you waste?
10 minutes? 5 minutes?
You're full of shit.
It would have took me.
You talk to yourself.
It would have took me a long time. Not him.
First of all, you had to get worked up. You had to let that email roll around in your head.
I read the email a week ago, and I never said anything.
But it's been bugging you for a week.
And then I left it alone, and then I saw it in my inbox today, and then I was like, fuck this, and then I typed that up.
I had one the other day. Caught me.
It just bugs me, man. It's like, yeah.
No, it's a new level of tough skin. You have to fight. It's like getting heckled. How that would devastate you when you first started.
I wrote back a lady who saw my special, my half hour special, and my, you know, some of the fat jokes I was doing, and she was appalled that I was talking about being fat.
Oh yeah, that one was awesome.
And
that was a good one.
Yeah, she really laid into me about her. She has obese sister, and you don't know what it is, and the fact that you're. And I spent a day and a half writing an email back to this whore about, you know, who, how fucking dare you?
Yeah,
tell
because
me.
You had lost the weight, so she thought he was just being mean to fat people the way I am.
Right. Well, that's the fucking that, and that's what bothers me about it. These people don't stop to actually listen. They have selective hearing. They pick out the words they want to hear,
and then
they
so do we.
And then they have knee-jerk responses to stuff. At least think it over. Think it out for a fucking day or two.
Yeah, but he was. I guarantee you, that guy was a fan of yours and a fan of Bill's podcast, and was just. We were calling you a pussy that day, busting your nuts, and he's just trying to be us, going, dude, man up.
Yeah, he's going to write back. You just got trolled. Yeah, well, that new thing that everybody said. It's breaking balls. You basically just say something just to make somebody mad, and you don't even fucking mean it. It's like what seventh grade girls do, and for some reason it's like all the rage. You know what? It's basically the video game equivalent of when you lose a game and then you just say, "Well, I let you win. I wasn't even trying."
This is what I hate.
It's really gay, basically.
When a guy
it's really gay.
When a guy will tweet Billy and smashes me in it, you know, puts my name in it, but tweets him to say, "Bob Kelly's such a fat fuck. Why do you hang out with him?" or something to bond with him. He doesn't like me. I fucking block those douchebags. But this guy just sent it to you. If he sent it to me and him about you, that's a different fucking thing.
No, it bothers me, man. You know what?
Settle in, Joe. It's going to get a lot worse.
It was me, Joe. It was me.
Right.
It was me.
No,
I sent it.
It wasn't you.
I swear to God.
The return
and you know
emails
something, Joe? You were being
Bob.
A bitch on that one. You were being a bitch on that podcast.
I admit it on the podcast that I was being a bitch because I was stressed out about the festival and trying to fucking chill out. I admitted to that. What bothered me was he is trying to be you guys. And it's like, you know what? You don't get to be these guys. Number one, you're not them. Number two, you don't know me the way they
Bobby,
do.
Bobby, I'm about ready
annoying.
To send Joe an email.
It's fucking annoying. No,
let's have fun, but, Joe. I don't want to talk about an old podcast.
No. We're not talking about an old podcast. We're talking
about
people sending you hate mail.
The fucking reviews of
that old
podcast.
We're talking about people sending you hate mail.
I know, Joe, and I already told you. You got to develop a tough skin and just move on.
I disagree. I agree that you got to have a tough skin to criticism.
Write back to those people. See how that works.
I don't write back to them ever. You're not listening to me. I'm not saying I'm right.
I am listening to you. You wrote like fucking three.
You know what he's going to do? You know what this podcast is going to... He's going to send you another email.
I'm not listening. He's not... Because if we could, I'm just trying to explain something. I agree that
Joe, can I just say something first of all?
Right.
You don't have the ability to go fucking da and move on. You have a lawyer in your blood. You need to make your point and fucking listen. I agree with you. If you agree with us, shut the fuck up and let's talk about something else.
But you're saying you don't agree with me.
I fucking
Bobby,
I agree with you,
Bob. Your
I agree with
first
you.
First of all, this is slowly Here's becoming a, our turn, podcast.
Turn,
can
turn
we just
off,
say that? Can I get a little?
Bobby,
can I get a little?
But wait a minute, don't even bring that up.
Why is he always begging for credit?
Why are you letting him fucking do that?
Why?
Do
what?
Bobby.
He said it, not me. Don't yell at me.
I'm not. But it's
Bobby,
a lot of
Bobby,
my
why?
This and you're that.
Time out.
I'm joking.
Why
I'm joking.
Is he
I'm joking.
Always
Because Bill,
begging,
it's a joke.
Begging
I'm joking.
For credit.
Because it's a joke.
It isn't a joke.
It's a joke, Bill.
Listen.
Do you remember when
we did
the Montreal show?
Stop saying Bill. Bill.
It's a joke.
All right. You said it. I heard it. He
Remember
heard
when
it.
When we,
and
we're
then
up
you're
in
park.
Montreal, we're up what? In Montreal, and we're doing the cheat live show.
Yeah.
And we say, Joe, you'll host. Bobby will go on next, and I'll close it out. And then he's like, dude, you know, I just feel like if I host, I'm just worried how I'm going to look. We're doing stand-up in a transvestite bar. It's just, Joe, you're always fighting for above-the-line credits.
But I'm this not is, fighting. Can I just say,
how
Joe,
is that above the line?
Joe, I've
how
been telling you for years that you stink.
Yeah.
And you need...
I get what you're
mad.
Doing.
I'm just
Joe,
fucking
Joe,
with
I
you.
I know you are,
Joe,
but I...
Joe.
Listen.
Joe.
Hold on.
Everybody
hold
loves
on.
You.
Everybody loves
what is,
Joe.
Say something.
Joe, I love you, man.
We respect
we talk,
you
this is our
and
podcast.
Shorty shorts.
We do it together. Okay?
Well, I'd like to see my picture up there at some point.
It's not going to happen.
Fuck you! You
hey, Joe,
said you would put it up
around
there.
6 months. 6 months. We'll see. We'll see where your commitment lies. It's been getting
listen.
Better. It's been getting better. Go
listen,
ahead.
No, listen. Bobby's like Dave Grohl with this podcast.
What do you mean?
Dave Grohl, well, the way he holds together the Foo Fighters. They have people going in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and he's the anchor. All right?
I did do a Gary Gulman podcast this weekend.
Oh, thanks for calling me.
I was in Connecticut. Were you going to take a train to Connecticut?
You did it when you were at your show together. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's fine.
See, you were, thanks for calling me. Fuck you.
Fuck, only because you kept telling me about the Goldman one. I was excited about it.
I was too.
Joe, do you think you'll ever get over your abandonment issues?
No. Never. Never.
Was it raining when your real parents left you on
that
stoop?
I don't know why I find it funny. Every time we bring up that you're adopted makes me laugh.
Because it's my pain and you find that humorous.
It's hilarious.
It's not pain. You're fine. You got a better family.
Oh, yeah. I'm in tip-top mental condition.
How long was the basket that they put Joe in? You know, he was a
basket.
He was like a long baby.
I bet it was a to-go tin.
That was the first joke I ever wrote. That was literally the first joke I ever wrote.
About that?
I wrote, the first joke I ever wrote was, I'm Egyptian. I'm also adopted. Well, I wasn't adopted. My parents found me floating down the river in a basket. Moses reference. That was the first joke I ever wrote. It's a terrible joke.
Wow.
But first joke I ever wrote.
Not so what you're basically saying is that we're really tapping into the core of your pain.
No, I'm saying that your basket
really
joke stunk.
My first joke was at Catch a Rising Star. Remember Catch a Rising Star in Harvard Square?
Yep.
You used to have to sign up on the wall.
Yep.
You know, put your name on the wall to do open mic.
I remember.
I invited my whole family down. 15 of them came down. And the owner of the club said, listen, I don't want your family screaming and yelling, so tell them to keep it down when you go up. I don't want the other comics
to be fucked up. They saw the white trash family tree that you came from. Okay.
Right. No. Is it white trash? No, my family's not white trash.
Dude, in Harvard Square.
Why are you letting him do this,
no,
dude?
No. I'm being honest because I'm actually thinking of my family. I've never thought if my family's white trash. And they are white trash because all 13 of us lived in one house. So it would be white trash. But here's the deal.
Generally terrible people. Go ahead. Continue.
But here's the deal. Well, we didn't all come from fucking Canton and have trees in our backyard.
Yeah, it really is funny when it goes on to the other guy.
Shut up, you adopted
Why don't you learn
Arab.
To enjoy it more? Jesus, Joe. And then you open your mouth and now we're back to you. Would you let him tell this story?
I shook my hand like this. I shook my hand like I was holding something, like I was ringing a bell. I go, what's this? And then the crowd would begrudgingly go, what? And I go, me making coffee. And then I took out two equals and I shook the equals and I ripped the package open and I poured them on the stage.
That's not even a joke.
Yeah. That was my first joke.
That's a mime.
Wow.
What the fuck is that? It's not even a joke.
Fuck you, you baby in a basket.
At least, but then at least
Moses
there was a punchline.
I'm trying to think of some of mine.
You had Will Burr, Tim Burr.
Tim Burr,
Bill
Burr.
What was that one? I forget that. It was...
Oh, you did
it. No, that was a bad one. That was...
It was a killer joke. You killed. At the beginning, that wasn't bad as mine. That joke,
I had a joke. I had a joke about Crisscross,
the rap group.
Yeah, and because I was making fun of how young they were, and it was warm it up, Chris. Warm it up, Chris. Hey, go to bed, Chris. What are you like 9 years old? Nothing. Just
that. That's funny though. That sounds like a Burr joke, though. It sounds like a shitty Burr joke, but it sounds
Well, I mean, I wasn't like I was had a staff of writers, Joe.
But you know what I mean?
My voice.
Sounds like it would get a laugh. It stinks, but it sounds like I'd get a laugh.
Oh, Joe, let me tell you something. It didn't. And I actually did the little fucking dance, warming up, whatever the hell I was doing.
Here's another shitty early one I did. When right after 9/11 happened.
I just thought of one too.
This is fun. Let's go around the circle with them. Or after 9/11 happened.
Oh, fucking
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. You got a fucking, your long fucking fingers and arms and elbows have to knock shit over all the time.
Yeah.
What was that?
Some remote or something.
Joe, what did you do? Did you put your arm up there?
Just a lanky fucking giraffe. Another one.
Oh.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Did your hands up?
Did you really think that was an accident the second
time?
Jesus
Christ. He spilled a fucking beer on my iPhone a month ago. I go out with him finally to a bar, and he has to talk with his hands because he's so fucking, I got...
animated?
I was going to say enigmatic something, but I couldn't think of the word. I'll admit it.
Enigmatic.
Bob grew up in prison.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. Dude, you're minutes away from them putting that Voss list up on the wall at O&A.
No, dude, nobody's fucking dumb as that, dude. Come on. I fuck up on there. you know, two.
No, but what Bob does,
a word once in a while, but that cocksucker,
this is the
fucks
genius.
Fucks up real, like regular words.
You say supposedly?
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
I say
you say sociably?
Sociably.
Yeah, you put a B in it.
I do, because I'm from Boston. I blame it on my upbringing in Boston. Go ahead. What were you saying, Bill?
I was saying the genius of Bob is Bob knows where he's smart, and he stays on that little corner, and he'll just talk there. Voss tries to just start walking around the fucking room.
Yeah.
Stuttering.
I was hanging out with Deepak Chopra. Oh, Voss. You shouldn't have been.
He looks
evil.
Oh,
wait, let's do the shitty jokes. That was fun. I want to hear another shitty joke.
Joe, will you hang out with me if I go to a comb over like that guy?
Of course.
In about 10, you would?
Yeah.
what a true friend.
I'd hang out with you guys.
I'm sorry, there's a guy on TV with a comb over.
I did a joke about, remember Ice Castles? The show about the blind.
I remember the reference. It was a
blind
chick movie.
It was a blind ice skater. Figure skater?
No.
She was blind, and it was a tragic story, and she comes out again.
Did she get raped?
No, she doesn't get raped.
Then why were you watching it?
She raped. We'll talk about fucking I spit on your grave after this, you fucking dirtball. Who got me into rape?
Oh, boy.
Who, I did?
Dude, you got... So I Spit on Your Grave was like the first...
I told you about that movie. I didn't get you into rape. That was your childhood.
The rape scene on The Rock?
Yeah, no, that's that movie.
Yeah, I didn't know about that movie.
You're just telling me I just randomly brought up that movie? Or was
no,
it,
you
was
were like,
was
dude,
I,
this...
Was
this,
I was reacting to the porn you were watching.
You said, dude, this fucking movie is crazy. Oh,
oh no,
my God.
Dude, I remember why I brought that up. I remember why, and I can't fucking say why.
Okay.
If you hit pause, I can tell you why, and then you can fucking say if I can say it on the podcast.
I don't
podcast.
Know if we have pause. I haven't figured that out yet.
Something tells me you guys should just save it till after. This sounds like something you don't want to.
No, I remember why.
I mean, his voice dropped two octaves.
Yeah, Billy's eyes.
Yeah, it ain't on me. Yeah. I remember why now. No, I remember.
All right, fuck it. Well, tell me after. But
So Ice Castles.
Yeah, the chick was a blind ice skater, and at the end she fucking does the move.
Cry me a river.
And this is the funniest part, though. They all start throwing, when she finally gets the whole move down and she wins the competition, they all start throwing roses out on the fucking ice.
And does she wipe
and
out?
She wipes out. And
what happens?
And she falls.
Oh, does she hurt herself?
No, she just gets back up and skates around. But my joke was like, she's blind. Why would you throw roses? But then I start acting out, bravo, bravo.
I remember
that. Oh, shit. Oops. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Pardon me. And the guy's trying to leave. Oh,
and I never got that part of the joke.
Oh,
what, excuse me. Pardon me.
That's from, I took that from Mel Brooks's movie. What is it? The Producers.
I remember Bobby's first really good joke.
What?
You did one about some girl. Oh, stop the insanity.
Oh.
And how she lost. He goes, she lost like whatever, 400.
She's 600 pounds.
Where did all the loose skin go?
Where did all the skin go? She folded and sticking in her ass like a parachute?
And then you'd go, you would make this sound that sounded exactly like a parachute.
Folding
of
up?
Skin folding up into her ass. And I thought it was like, oh, that's an awesome joke.
That's funny.
He's got
I actually
sound
met
effects.
Her. You know who dated her? Jessica Kirsten. That was her girlfriend for a while, Susan Powders.
Oh, really?
She came out of
you
the
fucking...
You know
what's funny? On my podcast, I don't name names. On this one, dude, you name fucking hometowns. You just fucking... You're just really just fucking...
That's why people love it.
Oh, is that what
there.
It is? This is just... This is like... scandalous.
Jessica, I mean...
I would let her fucking maybe throw that out there that she dated that parachute-ass chick.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point, Bill.
Oh,
you know,
Bob? You fucking name names, too.
No, I don't do it like that, though.
Not the way you do it.
Oh,
not
really?
The way you do it.
Not the way you do it.
I love Jessica Kirsten. One of my favorites.
I love her, too.
Love her.
There's a rumor out there that Bob doesn't.
I know.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm aware of that rumor.
Bird.
And I love Jessica, which is why I wouldn't have ever said her name on this podcast.
I would say Jessica because I want people to go follow Jessica.
He offended her a little bit.
That's
a little bit.
So
shut up with your fucking long fingers.
It's so passive aggressive.
I don't like that Joe's watch doesn't fit on his wrist. It fits on his forearm.
It's so passive aggressive that he just did that to Jessica.
Here's because I started out. I started out in a black club in Philly. Here's one of my first jokes. Yeah, because you had to.
I don't like that Joe hasn't looked at me once during this. He's telling you everything.
I kind of thought you were doing the same, and it was bugging me.
I'm not. Well, really? So you just do what. Yep. You suck as a human.
Yep, yep.
You really just suck.
Hold on, listen to this. Listen to this joke.
Sociably.
Listen to this joke. This because you're in the black rooms, dude, and I didn't know idea what I was doing. I was like, I gotta be like a black comic and deliver shit that way. And it was right after 9/11, and they put out that thing that said anybody that can catch a terrorist will give you, you know, $1 million reward. And I was like, man, I'm half Egyptian, but I don't even care. I was looking through my high school yearbook for anybody that even had a tan.
Wow. Wow.
How shitty is that joke?
I liked your little black scent. Your subtle black. Oh, yeah.
I did the black scent on the end. Because you used to do black rooms all the time. You'd slip into that.
Whenever I was bummed. Just yet another story I've already done on a podcast. I told on Aisha's last week. Was I would throw in... when I was starting to bomb, I would still do my material, but I would throw in, you know what I'm saying, at the end of every joke. I'd be like, but blah 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 blah. You know what I'm saying?
That's like that's like dumb Robinson.
Like,
you know
why am I saying that right now?
Robinson does that when he's bombing a joke bombs. He'll go true story. True story. Like, that's going to fucking make him go, oh, well, it's true.
Oh, he does it?
Yeah, I did it the other night. He did it at your room, too.
Pay
yeah.
attention, goddamn.
True story.
You had a joke about, I remember it was the first time I met you guys when we went up to that college with Okerson and we went to that crazy strip
library.
Club and all that shit.
The yeah. library, yeah.
But you had a joke, and I remember Jay turned to me and he goes, you could tell Billy still does the black rooms occasionally because you were talking about being in the Army. You had that joke about being in the Army, and you go, you think you're going to be fighting and shooting guns. You end up just painting a tank or whatever and doing chores. And you're sitting there painting a tank going, this is some bullshit. And when you get Billy,
yeah.
Jay goes, that's a black room punchline. Yeah. Anytime you go, this is some bullshit.
That's actually, I should credit Will Sylvince. Well, that almost sounds like Will Sylvince. Not the joke, but saying this is some bullshit.
That was the gig that the lady came out.
The
and
lady?
And she goes, oh, look, these are new microphones. So you don't bang them or do it? No, not at all. Yeah. No, we don't fucking, what are we, not hacks. We don't fucking bang the microphone. What are we, Carrot Top? And then we cut to Billy fucking clanging the new microphone on the mic. Yeah, the fucking king.
He threw it on the ground.
That was at the end. That was the last bit. Then he tosses it on the ground, and we're like, what are you doing? This lady's like, fucking new $500 wireless microphone.
Jesus, yeah, she was freaking.
I just remember hearing it clang off the mic stand going,
I was doing some bit.
Oh.
Was it cutting out on me? I can't remember what.
No, you had a bit where you had to make the noise, and you probably did it at the comedy club with the mic. But nobody, you know, nobody gives a fuck. This lady specifically said, "You guys don't do this."
I haven't done college in forever, and I swear to God, I don't miss those. I would always get in trouble at those things.
I'm doing one Saturday night. But I'm doing the SUNY Delhi. I do it once a year for Marty. It's a fucking whatever. It's an orientation.
I remember doing one and. They had some fuck. It was like, what was that thing? Orientation.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
This
I just
time,
said.
Yeah, orientation. They would have the kids come in.
Right, new kids.
Yeah. So there's some guy up there, some recovered heroin addict. He's talking about bottoming out, and not doing drugs and blah 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 and all this sad shit. And then I got to go on after it. So like I went up there. I was like, you know, I love these recovered addicts. You know, after they've had all their fun and banged in the mud, all of a sudden you're supposed to sit here and not do anything. You got 4 years to do all your drugs and blah, blah, blah. I said something like that. I basically advocated using drugs after it, trying to get a laugh. It actually kind of worked, and I did fine. But the second, as I was doing the bit, I saw the organizers scurrying around and talking to this one guy. And Ben Bailey was closing it. And he wasn't there yet. And I remember I was supposed to do a half hour. I was about 25 minutes into my set, and Ben shows up. And the second he shows up, like five people fucking walk right up to him and start telling him what he can and can't say. And as they're talking to him, he sort of looks up at me, and I just smiled. And I'm like, hey, I don't think I'm getting the fucking check on this one.
I got that. I had that happen so many fucking times. One time in Boston at a school, me and Jeff Ross, I used to say faggy. In my act at one point. I go, that's faggy. And Dane was there a month before, and his closing bit at the time.
Yeah, you're a faggot.
You're a faggot.
Yeah.
And she comes up to me after. This poor girl, I felt bad for her. She had to come up to me and deliver me the news. How they were disappointed in me and the show because I said I made fun of gay people. She was beet red. Like, she was so nervous to say this to me. I go, when did I make fun of gay people? Well, you said faggy, the word faggy. I go, faggy? I go, did you have Dane Cook here like a month ago, right? She goes, yeah. I go, his closing bit, do you remember it? She goes, yeah. I go, he says, you're a faggot. And nobody had a problem with that. She goes, well, it's kind of the way he says it. Is a little, I'm like, fuck, whatever, fuck you.
That's funny. I like how you went Kobe Bryant on him. Yeah. Shaq does it too.
Well, yeah, you got what you deserve for throwing your friend under the bus.
Fuck, yeah. Fuck that.
No,
fuck
you threw
her.
Dane under the bus. Wait a minute. You threw Dane under the bus there. Yeah. Why'd you bring up Dane?
Because why wouldn't I fucking bring up fucking Dane?
Because he's a friend.
No, fuck you.
He's a
that
friend.
Fucking cocksucker said faggot, and everybody, and all these
and
fucking scumbags.
Then you bring them up.
All these scumbag fucking college students who have no fucking clue, have no backbone, just go down like cattle and sheep,
no.
Whatever fucking road
and
it is.
I gotta admit, the way you're saying it now, it is offensive the way you say it.
Oh,
it doesn't bother me when Dane says it. When he says it, though, it bothers me.
Dane is just so goddamn likable. Bobby goes
he
on
really
stage.
Is. He really is a likable guy.
Yeah.
He is.
I made a girl flinch on Saturday night. She said something to me, and I went, I didn't hear her. I just leaned in. I go, what? And she flinched. I go, did you think I was going to hit you? But it's just my fucking, my energy.
And you know what's funny about that is you were the one who actually taught me.
What?
I'm such a psycho. You used to give me tips on how not to be so blunt with people.
Yeah.
I remember one time we went to a restaurant and the lady goes, is everything okay here? You want some water? And I went, no. She walked away and back then I didn't know that was bad.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, what the fuck? And I was like, what? She asked me if I want water. I said, no.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you could be like, you know what? Thanks for asking, but I'm okay. Uh-huh. And I actually had to work on that for like a fucking year. Have my last three stories bombed or
no? Not at all.
I don't think you're wrong for doing that though. Sometimes
you
got
it's fucking wrong. I mean,
it's some girl fucking. She's a very nice girl comic that I met the other night. She goes here and she hands me a pen and I go, what is that? And she goes, these are my pens that I give out. I go, I don't want it. And she goes, just take it. It's
no,
my
that's
pen.
That's
I go, no, I don't want it.
That's different, Joe. That's different.
You should have done
that's
the
Norton honesty.
Take it and then throw it down the street.
Why do you want a fucking pen from an open micer? Some waitress that just, hey, do you guys need anything? No. Tone. It's tone. We're talking about tone with a civilian or some open micer giving out pens. Fuck her.
I get annoyed, though, when people are too engaging in the restaurant. I got a buddy that I go to Subway with a lot, just out of coincidence.
Jesus, Joe. Have consideration for some of the economic troubles people have out there.
Look, I love Subway.
Before you bring out your highfalutin restaurants.
You're right. I'm sorry. But I go to Subway.
You defended it before you let him finish the fucking ball.
Well, I thought he was saying
I know.
Never mind. I don't know.
I
got mixed up.
I know you did.
But we go to Subway a lot together. I love the guy. But every time we're in there, he's like, yes, thank you very much. Cheddar, please. And he's too nice. And it's like, stop. It's Subway. You point and you go, peppers, pickles, onions, tomatoes. I don't like what people... No, thank you. We don't need water right now. There's nothing wrong with what he did. He said no. Do you need anything?
No.
What would
wrong.
Joe be doing if he wasn't you trying to block the sunshine in somebody's life?
Listen, let me tell you something. That's the worst thing. When Joe fucking finally does make it, if it does happen, if he makes it...
He's in a critical point right now.
He's fucking gonna be a dick.
I'm not.
You're gonna be a dick.
You're
gonna go to restaurants. You're gonna be the guy that returns shit just to return it.
No, I stopped doing that. I used to do that. I stopped doing it.
Exactly.
He already
I fucking
it.
Knew it.
No.
And it's not even. I just knew that was you.
You know what's funny too is for the listeners here, Bob. Nobody fucking calls it like Bobby Kelly. When he says somebody's a fucking psycho, I swear to God, that last person, not going to name a name,
I am done.
Because when you call somebody out, I every time I go, dude, you know, you're just being uptight, and he fucking nails it every time. I always, like, 3 months later, I fucking figure it out. But I'm telling you, so if he says that you're going to be an asshole when you meet, you know what he's going to be? He's going to be like Brett Butler.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? That's what you're going to be.
Why,
storming. Because there's something just...
What did she do, though? Like, what was her thing that she
Jesus,
did?
Jesus, I'm going to trash her now. She was quite a character when she had her own show.
Yeah, Roseanne, same thing. She fucking snapped on people.
Flipped out.
Right. Yeah, flipped out. Once you get a little power, Joe, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
You don't...
It might be a wrap now, quite frankly. I don't know if we're going
to
get that far.
Friend to friend, you don't do well with it.
You're not good with power.
You're not good with power.
It could be true. It could be true.
No, we're telling you it
no,
is true.
No, we're not even kidding right now. It's like, I know you're waiting for us to... You're
no,
not
I know
good
you guys
with power.
You're trying to play it off like we're joking.
I know
Joe,
you
I'm
guys
telling
are
you,
doing.
Joe, I'm telling you, like...
Look at this fucking smirk on his face.
Joe, I'm dead. I'm like, because it's funny to me. But
I never
yeah,
freaked
like,
on the set
Joe,
of Cheat
I'm not,
once.
I'm not, what?
I was calm as shit on the set of Cheat. I never freaked. We were under a lot of pressure. I
Joe,
never freaked.
I'm telling you, you don't handle it well.
I never yelled at anybody. I was very cool and collected the whole time that we did that.
And what do you think, Bob? What's he going to book? And we're going to see the other side of him. And this is the thing. How long is it going to take him to come out of it that I'm now doing well, so now I'm treating people like shit? When is he going to come back to
being? I guarantee if Joe books a show where he's on it all the time, something, especially if it's like, you know, like a half-hour pilot where he's like one of the stars and he's making good coin and, you know, it's the phone calls we're going to get. It's probably going to be the first month he's going to start going, dude, I'm busy right now. I apologize. The phone calls.
I think he's going to be really particular about what's in his dressing room. It's really hacky, but I just really see him being that guy.
I know he's
going to
get the call too. He's like, dude, I just want Gatorade. Why can't I just have Gatorade?
And then the way he fucking over, like, you know, oh my God, you know, goes over every fucking detail. Oh. And if there's any sort of the show might go away, that's when it's going to bubble to the surface where Joe's going to fucking snap.
Oh, your first fame. Right. Your first fame. You're going to fucking lose it.
Well,
you're gonna lose it. I feel bad for Conan. I feel bad for the management. That's why I feel bad, because they're gonna get 900 fucking phone calls about just menial bullshit, just fucking horseshit.
Here's a classic Joe DeRosa. He comes out to L.A., tells me I can never live out here, blah 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 blah. We ended up having this meeting at this guy's fancy house up in the fucking hills. 10 minutes later, we coming out of here. He goes, dude, see, this is why I want to get our movies done, so I can buy a house up in these hills and tell everybody to go fuck themselves. We're not even down the hill yet. We're not even down the fucking hill, dude. I fucking laughed my ass off.
Here's the thing.
He wants power, and he wants to wield it, yeah. And he's going to abuse it.
I don't think I would be an abusive dick.
This
or
isn't up
like that.
For debate, Joe. We're telling you how
it is. I think I'd be
is.
A dick in the way that I would be crazy in my head about shit, and then people would think I was being an asshole, but I wasn't. I just wasn't being.
He's already blaming the victims.
Engaging.
Yeah, you know,
because I'm walking around thinking about shit.
The second thing that would suck about him is his outfits. The outfits he would have, the shoes. You know, we'd definitely, back to the beginning of the podcast, vests. You'd be totally into vests, a pocket watch.
No, but that's more your issue. That's more your issue because he's going to be such a dick and not handle his power well. A blue-collar guy like you having to take shit from a guy who's going to dress the way Joe is, like yeah. He's sort of in...
right.
What's that big Sherlock Holmes movies? He's going to dress something like that a modern day.
Yeah. He's going to have a fucking ascot. He'll do a show with an ascot.
Well, hey, you know.
A pocket watch, little pointy shoes.
We'll see what happens. Look, I'm already trying to buy the shoes. I mean, you've seen the shoes.
Joe's shoes are fucking... I respect you that you always try to dress up. I actually like that you dress up. But your fucking apartment... I mean, you couldn't have got a better sublet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's the only reason why he's still there. It's just there's no reason.
Sick.
I'm never going to get a better guy. I can't stand to look at the man.
But you can't. You wouldn't be. I mean,
apartment is in better shape than if I lived there.
He cleans it non fucking stop. Every time you go there, he's wiping something and organizing.
It's
the
tremendous.
Shoes are fucking. Just perfectly, or just boom, 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 right on the floor.
It's got to be one of the most infuriating things to Bill in the world that when he stays there, I'm cleaning up after him and making him feel uncomfortable with the
and
place
Bill
that he owns.
Bill is pretty neat.
He owns it. I'm fucking cleaning the shit up. Bill,
it honestly doesn't bother me. I love that he freaks out. He unplugs everything so there's no fire. He sweeps up. And then when he goes on the road for like half a day, he's worried the biggest rat ever is going to come in there and eat the one crumb. And he just sits there. He just meticulously cleans that fucking place. It's
every
tremendous.
Time he goes on the road, he cleans the apartment.
Yeah. If he could have a personality the way he cleans that apartment, I think we would...
and boring.
Joe, it's no fun when you agree. You figured it out.
Now, dude, I that's the thing I hate.
What was that?
He went real quiet. He went, shut up. That's the thing I hate most about going on the road is I get major anxiety about leaving the apartment. I get tremendous anxiety about having to make sure it's clean. I'm so scared I'm going to leave water running. I'm going in. I'm checking the faucets five times. It's sick. It's obsessive compulsive.
What level of power are you going to have to achieve in this business to fill that void of abandonment? That's what I want to know. Like, how much is the industry going to have to be sucking your dick before you finally...
Hey, I'll never enjoy it. I'll never enjoy it.
Human being.
Because if I got to the ultimate level of power in this business, if I got there, I would enjoy it. I'd be like,
my empire is crumbling.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like Ace Rothstein in Casino. If anything got to do with your fucking self around this place, I would just go batshit. I wouldn't enjoy
a minute
of it.
That's why you want to be a director too. He'd rather be a director because that's more power. That's more power than the star.
Joe, it's nothing more to be coming down in that fucking levitating chair. All right, this is a go.
Yeah, just, with a fucking bone.
Of course. Who wouldn't want to do that?
No, I would actually love to do it. But with you, there's that extra. I would do it because it's fucking cool. You do it because you... You know what this reminds me of? There was a dude one time told me this story. We were talking about, you know, making it, whatever the fuck that means. He goes, man, and I want to make it so I can do this, this, and this. And he goes, man, I want to make it so one time I can have an apartment full, a house full or whatever, the baddest bitches in the world, and right in the middle of the party, turn off the stereo and tell everybody to get the fuck out. You got elements of that, Joe.
I got to admit.
You want that house on the hill? Get the fuck off my property. You got that, Joe.
I got to admit, I was watching Iron Man 2 the other day, and I got excited in the big birthday party scene when he's wasted, and he's finally like, get out of here, all of you. Just watching a bunch of bimbos have to fucking try to run in their high heels.
Did you see that fucking, the movie, it's on Netflix, called Superheroes, where they're real fucking superheroes. They're just regular.
No, they're real people.
Pretending. Real people, and they're in all over the country.
Not the Hollywood Boulevard.
Not the
thing.
Hollywood Boulevard guys. They're real people who are superheroes. They have costumes and they patrol the fucking
That's
streets.
Fucking awesome.
The ones in New York are kind of okay, but the ones in Orlando, the guy in Orlando just has like a German helmet he spray painted silver, and then lacrosse armor that he spray painted silver. He has a cape. He's fat. He's got like a mullet. And he's an alcoholic. So every fucking half hour,
oh my God, that's
every
awesome.
Half hour, he runs over to his van, and he has big, tall Budweisers or Bushes. And he goes, you work up a mighty thirst being a superhero. And he just cracks it and chugs the whole thing.
This guy
and
sounds then, like the greatest person ever.
this fucking guy. And he goes into bars, and he'll go in, let me patrol in here, make sure he'll go to the bar and just order a quick beer. He's shit-faced by the end of his patrol. And he's so... And
where can
all,
I watch that? That guy sounds
it's
awesome.
It's on Netflix. It's called Superheroes. And these fucking guys, most of them are fat and like one guy hid it from his girl. His costumes...
You have
costume,
to protect her safety.
Well, she found out. And she goes, well, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So if you're going to do it, I'm going to go with you. So now she goes out as a superhero too, but she's just a fat girl. So she just got a t-shirt it's a kitten, super kitten or something like that. And she goes out with them.
It's like a middle-aged Wonder Woman.
Dude, the ones in New York, though, are kind of badass. It's this fucking gay kid who... What's that stuff they did in James Bond? They do all the movies now where they jump from building to building and fucking...
Right.
What's called? I forget. There's a name for it.
Planking.
But
he knows how to.
Wacky
he does all that shit, and he has, you know, some of them have stuff that they made, like gadgets that they made. But this guy actually has cool fucking gadgets. Like he has a flashlight on his chest, like Iron Man, that is so bright, it's fucking crazy bright that if he hits it on his chest, it will blind whoever is looking at him.
Describe the brightness of it again, Bob.
It's bright. Like
he has this crazy light that's like so bright.
Well, they go out. He's got this hot chick who's a fucking. She's and these two big motherfuckers just shredded. They're all in shape. They all do karate and jiu-jitsu and all fucking martial arts. And they send the girl out walking around by herself in the neighborhood. And then they'll go.
That's entrapment.
Yeah, it is. And they actually say that on the fucking thing. And they'll go behind her and they'll try to catch people that way. And they'll send him out dressed like really gay, and they'll try to get people to fucking attack him or take his money. And then they'll come out and fucking attack him. There's one guy that walks around Washington Square Park.
When he's really gay, like, what exactly do they dress
him
up?
He had a mesh shirt, black mesh shirt with suspenders and I think it was red leather pants. And then he swished his ass as he walked down the street.
He's dressed like every guy in every heavy metal band I saw in the 80s.
Yeah.
All those glam. Do you ever go back and look at the cover of Motley Crue's Theater of Pain? Did you ever look at Vince Neil?
They're fucking gorgeous. They're gorgeous women.
Yeah, Vince Neil looks like some chick you'd try and pick up at Hooters.
Tommy Lee? Fucking, they're gorgeous.
Poison looks like that, too. Poison, they were
the lead
beautiful.
Singer, not the other guys.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the other guys. You said the funniest one. The drummer looked like Maude.
Yeah.
Remember when he
does. A fucking idiot haircut. Remember Cinderella?
Dude, yeah, I saw
I
never all liked them, those
I
fucking
did too,
bands.
Man. The Palace. Remember the Palace? And then they had the Channel.
No, I only went to the big ones. I went to the Providence Civic Center.
I went there.
And the Worcester Centrum. And that's the thing. Well, I was talking on my podcast about the 20th anniversary of Nevermind. Like, everybody actually, it was this cataclysmic moment. I never felt it. I listened to it. I was like, you know, I saw the video. I was like, yeah, it's all right. I didn't like how he was making fun of the tap on solos. Remember when Kurt Cobain did that shit? I still was into the all that headbanger shit.
I love headbanger and hair bands with my shit. That's what remember,
I didn't like the hair bangers. I liked the headbanger ones, and then I liked AC/DC.
I saw Warrant at fucking the Channel. My Cherry Pie, she's much. I was like as close
they
as I am.
They only playing the Channel at that point.
The Channel.
Did he just die? Didn't you say that?
Yeah, just died
on the podcast.
Died
what did he do?
That fucking poor guy. He never forgave himself for writing that song. At one time, he was like, "I could shoot myself in the head for writing that song." I saw this thing on VH1. I was like, "Jesus Christ, man! He's being really hard on himself." Like, it's like, dude, every band from that era, except for like two, went down in flames when grunge came in. Why are you taking all of that on your shoulders? Like. It's like you wrote it. It was a hit fucking song. And music changed the same way it changed from disco to whatever the fuck went out. Heavy metal.
Right.
I don't know.
You don't know how he died?
They found him in a comfort inn.
They don't
inn.
Know yet. They found him in a hotel.
Yeah.
It wasn't a comfort inn. It was a Westwood. It was actually a little better than that. But it was awful.
He's a father. He's got kids. Yeah, but
he had the best story about like the change over to grunge on Behind the Music. He said when Cherry Pie came out, he goes, we went into our record label. They were on like Warner Brothers or Electric, whatever it was, some huge label. And he goes right behind the secretary's desk of the headquarters of the record label was a giant Subway poster of Warrant, Cherry Pie. And he's like, man, we're on top. And he goes, right. And then I remember when our next album was about to come out, we went in. And it was Alice in Chains' Facelift. And he was like, oh, boy, times are changing. Like,
yeah. Def Leppard had one where they went on some MTV show, and it was it was like fucking, you know, December of 1991. So Nevermind came out, and then Alice in Chains, who actually had an album out before them that I actually saw on MTV, but like the whole show was all grunge. And then Def Leppard, and he goes, yeah, we were like the sacrificial lambs that night because everyone was wearing flannels and they're out there. Pour some sugar on me. I hated that album.
I fucking loved Def Leppard. I love the
album.
First one was great. The second one I liked.
Pyromania was the shit, but I didn't like the...
What about the drummer who fucking lost an arm?
Yeah, I kept playing.
And then comes back. What does he play? He uses his foot instead of the...
He used his left foot for the snare drum. But then eventually he went back to playing a regular kit, and he almost plays it the way Charlie Watts does, where Charlie Watts, for a while, wasn't hitting the hi-hat when he hit the snare at the same time.
Is he the guy from the Stones?
Yeah, he just plays with like... He just plays up top with the one hand, you know?
Look, you're a drummer. He might be a great drummer. But I used to... Every time I see the Stones growing up and see him, I would fucking... What the fuck? Why is he in the band?
You know why?
Fucking made me sick.
You know why? I used to say the same thing. I was like, he stinks. He's not a good drummer.
No.
He's a phenomenal jazz drummer. He's like an impeccable, brilliant jazz drummer. And he just, when he plays rock, it's just like, well, this is...
No. He's playing for the song. Like, if he was to go out and try and do some Keith Moon shit, which he couldn't do, it's not his style, but like... Keith Moon's not the guy for that band.
How about smiling? How about looking at the audience, pointing a drumstick at a hot chick?
Jesus. You like the cheesing it up. Look, Bob.
Yeah, that's not the Stones.
I told Bob for fucking years he should play drums. I'm telling you.
Oh, you'd be a great drummer.
He'd be a, dude, you would be a fucking insane. You have a presence.
Seriously.
And you're totally into like the show and that stuff. And you also, when you fucking sing songs and stuff, you're musical enough where you're going to be fine. I'm not saying to quit comedy and go become a professional
yes,
drummer.
Yes, you are.
But, dude,
you're telling
that's
you,
exactly what I'm telling
you're
Bob.
Telling me.
You're the next
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
No, every time when I go to the fucking, like, we'll go to one of those goddamn music stores, Guitar
Sam
Center.
Sam Ash.
And I'll be like, Bill, sit down and play something. Sit down and play something. And then I play something. Afterwards, him acting out what I just played is always better. And you always do the thing where you grab the cymbal and choke it. He's got like, dude, he goes, that's fucking you. And you get, boom, you bat, boom, psap. And he always does that fucking thing, whatever the fuck you do. And the look on his face is like, dude, I would fucking kill to watch you play drums.
I have dreams. I have two dreams. I have a terrible dream. It's always tsunamis. 100, 200 foot waves. I'm on the top of a hotel building. And
no
they're
room
that
service.
High. That high. No room service.
Sorry, had to get
they're
one.
That high. They're coming in. And then I have a dream where I'm I'm the fucking drummer in a metal band. But it's 200,000 people. And at the stage is 100 feet high. It's like that fucking just big. And I'm on the fucking drums. And I just, there's one point where the guy goes, and Robert Kelly
on
the
drums.
Scoom boom bat. Doom doom bat. Doom doom bat. Boom doom bat bat. And I just go nuts. Fucking
Bob,
have
if you
it all
love
the time.
Passion, you really should do it. You should just do it.
I know.
You could learn how to do it. You have the basement apartment here, dude. It's perfect.
I know.
We'll go see. Next time Metallica comes around, we'll go see him.
Yeah.
Because you'll love it. Because Lars is a good drummer. He's not the greatest drummer. He's a very good drummer. Yeah. But he gets up in between songs and runs to the side of the stage and goes, ha! And screams at the audience and runs
Tommy
back.
Lee,
it's awesome.
Man. Tommy Lee is one of my favorite drummers because he fucking... It's like he's fucking working metal, just like a fucking iron. Yeah, he's coming down on it.
No,
fucking,
he's awesome. We saw them when they opened up for Aerosmith on Jones Beach, and he was the fucking heart of that band, man. He was insane.
Yeah, Lee was on
he
point.
He is the shit. It bugged me his last thing, the circus thing they have on Netflix, that concert thing, and he did a new, you know, because he always came up with the new shit.
Right.
He would, you know, the drum kit would come up, then it came up, and then it turned upside down, and he's over
Bunny
the
Rich
fucking
did
crown. I never saw that
right.
shit. So that
Bunny
was
Rich did
he
that?
Would always every time you saw Crew, you'd see him do some different
Are you
shit.
I fucking
and then,
I didn't know. I saw. I'll show you the YouTube video.
But
the
then fucking what's his name? He did that fucking weird shit in the last special they did, the movie. Whatever.
I didn't even know there was a Motley Crue.
It's on Netflix. Motley Crue's fucking Circus of Something. It's their concert comeback. It's actually pretty cool. But he does this thing where he goes up and he does new drums and he does all kinds of bullshit like Jimmy Page shit with the electronic. It was really weird and I'm fucking comfortable. It's like
he doesn't
you.
Like
go,
oh that Methods of Mayhem stuff he does.
I just it's like dude just go fucking be you. Dance
he doesn't
what
like
brought you dude. Stop trying to be a rapper. Stop trying to.
No, but that's no, but that's why
he doesn't
good,
like
though,
doing
he
drum
keeps,
solos.
He
said it before.
Really?
Yeah, but that's
yeah.
that's why he keeps.
He said only do them if it's like a showman-y kind of thing. He said he hates doing them because they're stupid.
No, drum solos.
Tommy Lee, yeah, when they did the Cage thing, when that was new, I remember seeing him on MTV going, the drum solos are dumb, I don't see the point. I said, the only way I'm doing it is if we do something cool with it. So we came up with this thing where I go up in a cage over the audience. So, like, now he's got to try to outdo that fucking thing
so,
every
yeah,
year.
Yeah, now, Buddy Rich didn't do that, but Buddy Rich, actually, he was playing on a TV show, and they lifted him up, and they spun him completely upside down, and he played, and then they brought him back, and they brought him down. It was very primitive compared to what Tommy's doing, but there's a YouTube video of it. I was like, holy shit. I hate when people go, everything's been done. Everything's been done. You're like, fuck you. There's still something original. And like stuff like that just crushes me.
You know what I fucking learned yesterday?
Your name isn't Robert Kelly?
When you're in the fucking car and you're pulling up to get gas and you're like, what side is it on? Which side? Look out the window. I don't know. It's on you. And then you pull in and it's on the wrong. And you're going to fucking swing back around because it's on the other side.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at the fucking gas tank, the fuel gauge, and where the little gas tank symbol is. It is an arrow on the right side or the left side.
That's new. That hasn't been in the car.
I always
forever.
What I do is whenever I have a rental car, I come in and I flip the thing to open the door and then I just look at
yeah,
the
but they don't
the
have
mirror.
That a lot of times anymore.
Cars
the new ones,
I rent
you just
do.
Push them. Fucking
cars
Goldman told
do.
Me about it. He said he's had it for years.
I'm telling you, that's a feature, dude. My mom and dad's cars, which are
10 years old, they don't have that in the car.
Well, that's an old car, Joe.
Well,
Joe,
that's
what
I'm saying.
We're not talking about the piece of shit cars your
parents
drive.
Yeah, we're not talking about those
Jesus Christ.
Metal cars.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's a newer feature. That's a newer feature. That's a
Joe.
Last 5 years kind of
but
feature.
But that's a fucking... How? Why did it take
Come
so
on.
Long?
What?
We're talking about modern times.
Yeah, we're
talking
not
talking
now,
about
dude.
Right.
Not
yeah.
with your family.
Yeah,
that
was stupid
after
what I
flood
said.
Flood and all that.
That was dumb what I said.
Parents have just been horrible. Joe, what is with your fucking
flood.
Shorts?
Not that I'm just bumming
his
around.
His assistant coach shorts.
I bought these to go to the gym in, so I just fucking...
How's the gym working out?
I just thought
I'm enjoying
new,
it.
A joke I used to do on stage.
What's
when
that?
I used to do
a shitty one?
Colleges. Just
oh.
fuck me, dude.
What I used.
This is before I moved to New York. This is terrible. You know, guys, they wear the pants, the khakis, and the thing always sticks up, the cloth, where it looks like a dick.
Yeah.
I would bring a guy on stage, and I'd go, you know.
The second you bring anybody on stage.
I would go like this. I go, what's this? What's this? And I'd push it. Like, what is that? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's not it. It's down here. Oh, look, it's right there.
Ew.
The place would go nuts.
You.
Oh, it would kill?
It would go nuts. But here's the thing. And you know this
Here's
from coming
the thing.
Up
I'm
with
a hack.
Me.
Yeah, okay.
well, I had
people
some
on
shit,
stage.
Shit, but I always went up with some type of, I had some type of personality. You know, when I went up, I could sell some horse shit.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
Sell some horse shit, you know?
Yeah, well.
Hey, Bob, we've been watching you do
Joe,
it for 20 years.
Unlike Joe, who's forced to be funny because he has no personality on stage.
Jesus, Joe, how do you feel about that? He really just took a swipe at you.
Well, it makes me
was
a good
swing.
Writer.
Yeah, it was like a dig and a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not offended by that. Somebody tweeted that we should read some of the tweets that are coming in.
Ah, fuck. Well,
I mean,
why?
I don't know. If you don't want to. We don't have to. I'm just saying somebody tweeted that.
Well, it's going to be... I love
Three
Joe. I love Bill.
Epic fail.
I love Joe. I love Bill. I hate Bob. I love Bill. I love Bob. Joe's a dick.
Can I read
Bill's
some
Bill's got a fucking... is a fucking guaranteed to something about you being a redhead. Guaranteed.
Yep.
No, they all just say nice things.
All right, go ahead. Read them out then, baby.
No, they're all just
girl.
Nice. They're
go
not
ahead,
funny,
baby.
Though.
Baby girl,
yeah,
go ahead.
So let's continue
go
with
ahead,
the podcast. Guys, I'm actually doing the Opie and Anthony program.
Well, a real radio show.
Yeah, a real radio show.
So
Joe DeRosa,
promoting?
The breakout teen idol sensation.
Is not.
Dude, you realize I say that all over the fucking country. And there's a few people actually know the joke, but people always kind of look at me. Anytime I bring up cheat,
yeah.
Like, who'd you do the movie with? I go, oh, we did it with Robert Kelly and the teen idol sensation from the Opie and Anthony program, Joe DeRosa, and I just totally say it straight. And, like, they always kind of look at me waiting for me to laugh, and when I don't, they don't say anything. We did that when we were up in Montreal when Joe didn't come in that day because he had to go do his alt shit. Right? Isn't that what he did?
He really does. You are just a fucking alt hunk of garbage.
Well, you know, I like to play both sides.
I guarantee
of the
he has 20/20 vision. Those glasses are fake.
I
guarantee it. I bet if you put those glasses on, you got those as Ricky's. You can wear those.
You know what? A commercial just came on TV. I've been waiting 10 fucking years for Albert Brooks to do a new movie, and then this is the goddamn movie he's doing. Some, like, car chase Fast and Furious movie. Come on, man.
What is he supposed to do again,
I
want to
see him doing what he does. I like when he does funny movies. I love Albert Brooks.
Oh. have you gone to Lucky yet on 51st, 52nd Street between 9th and 8th?
I took him to
Bob,
the one on
14th. No, because I don't live in this neighborhood.
I took him to the one on 14th, the last time he was
Lucky
here.
Lucky Burgers?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Good.
Fuck,
you were there.
Hey, you were there. You said you went.
Me, you, and Nia went. Remember the place was all orange and yellow? We went after
the
that
fries?
Tribeca party.
Oh, that was only all right. Dude, I'm so sick of people telling me Five Guys burgers and fries.
Five Guys is
just
that
the
good.
Most
no.
greasiest shit ever.
Five Guys kills Lucky Burger.
Really?
Kills Lucky Burger.
Lucky Burgers
guys
is way better.
From the makers of Pizza Hut. It comes
tell you,
Five Guys.
I've never
That's
been
how
to Shake Shack.
That shit is.
Oh, dude.
Is Shake Shack good?
Shake Shack, and they got cheese fries, motherfucker, with a special kind of cheese sauce. That
what do you mean
ain't
a special kind of
never
cheese?
Never had before.
Are you doing a black room again?
They have a
no, I was
off on
I couldn't decide if I was doing Buford T. Justice or a black guy.
How about we watch that fight? We watched Smokey and the Bandit the other day, the whole movie, but only Buford T. Justice parts. We fast forwarded through
Christ,
everything else.
Jesus Christ, dude. What was the line that was killing us? Well, I'd be delighted to tell you.
No, but the funniest thing I always missed.
Get in the goddamn car.
Put the evidence in the car.
Yeah. You want anything to eat, Junior? Hush puppies, Daddy. We ain't got time for that crap.
Yeah. Jesus, who Keith's been doing all these years? He's a black Buford T. Justice.
How about the midget at the beginning, though? What's his name?
Oh, dude, Paul Williams.
Paul
Classic.
Williams. He goes like this. He goes, good psychology. Why don't you say something about my mother? Your mama's so fat.
Looks like a legend and an out-of-work bum. Look a lot alike, daddy.
Oh, God. We watched just Buford T. Justice parts the other night. It took us 20 minutes to get through the movie.
Was Paul Williams, that's his name?
Yeah.
Was he a singer also?
Singer, that's songwriter. Yeah. Big songwriter.
That's what I thought.
Back and the funniest day. Thing in...
What songs did he write?
Shit, I forget. I Googled him. I YouTubed him the other day. Yeah.
On my shoulder.
No, that's John Denver, isn't
Sorry.
It?
I think... No, he wrote a Makes bunch of those happy. Type of songs. And... The Snowman wrote the theme. So he was a songwriter too. Big country guy
back
then.
Jerry Williams.
Jerry Reed.
Jerry was huge.
Opening song, which isn't
Eastbound and Down.
No, not that one.
Loaded up and trucking.
It's the other one where the beginning song.
Westbound, we're going back to where we started.
Oh, you're fucking me up, you cunt. I just had it.
No, go ahead, do it.
I just had it. It's gone.
All right.
You got the other one stuck in my head.
Sorry.
Oh, he wrote
Eastbound Down.
You cunt.
Is that it?
Paul Williams wrote.
I'm trying to help you.
Paul Williams wrote "We've Only Just Begun."
It's a good song. Oh,
he wrote an old-fashioned love song. He wrote "You and Me Against the World."
Just an old-fashioned love song. All right, let's have a game. Now you got to sing the next one. First one who loses gets kicked in the cunt. Let's go.
How's it go? Go.
Wait, what are we doing?
No, I just sang. Just an old-fashioned love song.
So what?
Coming down in three-part harmony.
But what's the game?
You got to name the next Andy Williams song, and he has to, or Paul Williams, and he's got to sing.
Stop cheating. Dude, it kicks me in the cunt. I'm not good at this shit.
You got three strikes.
My memory fucking lasts 2 seconds.
Don't panic.
You and Me Against the World.
Sing it, Bob.
I don't know it.
Come on, just give it a try.
You and me against the world again.
Shit, I didn't even know. I couldn't tell if he was.
Good.
I have no idea.
No. Give me the next one.
Oh. We already did Old Fashioned Love Song. And Rainy Days and Mondays.
Rainy Days and Mondays always get me down.
Wow.
Oh, shit, right.
You got that one, dude.
All right.
It's the funnest, gayest thing I've ever done.
He also wrote Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie.
How's that
Rainbow
go?
Connection,
no idea.
Put it in my ass. Kermit. Right? And then I
Kermit.
What is it, Jerry Reed? Is that the other guy?
Yeah, Jerry Reed was a huge country star. In fact,
Jerry Reed is a beast.
Yeah, he's a fucking
dude. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was watching.
Where were you?
Nashville, Tennessee.
One more time.
Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, wait. Roy Clark, Jerry Reed, Glenn Campbell. These guys were like fucking country Eddie Van Halens. The way they played that fucking bluegrass shit. Roy Clark was on The Odd Couple.
I went to bluegrass. The guy who owns the Nashville, the guy who runs it. What's his name?
It
the
works.
Guy who runs the Nashville fucking comedy room there.
Oh, Brian Dorfman.
Brian, fucking, you know, sports guy, hockey guy.
Yep.
He took us out to bluegrass, the fucking old country bar one night. The first time I ever was there. And it was just the hillbillies with fucking overalls.
Dude, those guys shred.
And the little bang, 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 the little fork thing in their mouth and a harmonica. What's that little thing they put in their mouth and they ping it? What is that?
A fucking rubber band?
I don't know what it was. It was fucking incredible. I love bluegrass. Crazy.
No, those guys are insane. The level of... But Jerry Reed... Most northern white guys just look at him like he's the guy from fucking Smokey and the Bandit. But that guy was for real...
Yeah,
beast,
he was
beast of a musician.
That's why he was in Smokey and the Bandit. That's what people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds loved all those fucking guys. That's why he put all those fucking guys in it. Yeah.
He, what the fuck was I just going to say about, I can't remember.
I thought that was Ron Howard.
No, that's that fucking dickhead.
From Intervention.
I don't like that. I don't like this fucking Intervention show. What a fucking, you know, and it's so funny too because. I had interventions done on me 5 or 6 times. I told them to go fuck themselves every time and I just walked out of the room.
When did this happen? You were like in the third grade, Bob?
13, 14, 15.
What were you on at 13? Like, how did it happen?
I could drink a case of beer by 14 by myself. Me and Frankie Paul
Bob's
Castro.
Like the male Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Were your parents like celebrities and they let you do coke at 9? Were you on the cover of like People magazine?
I just got hooked up with... I was getting bullied in 6th grade, bad. And then I figured out you hang out with tough kids. and they don't bully you. So to hang out with these kids, I just had to, they did all this shit, so I had to do what they did.
Bobby Kelly is the adapter.
I know, I'm the chameleon. I didn't want to do any of it. I fucking still hate alcohol. Hard alcohol, it's like, I don't get it. I don't get why people drink.
Oh, I do,
Bob.
Do
you understand it?
It's poison. It's fucking poison.
Oh, Bob, I get
like
it just fine.
Oh, no, Bob, you don't know what you're talking about. You stand down on that, Bob.
Fuck,
you stick with your Drake's cakes.
Fuck.
Am I making fun of those fucking things? Oh, shit.
Bob, it's the feeling.
You pulled fucking Drake's cakes out of your ass.
One of the funniest fucking things I ever saw a guy do. It was Jeff Caldwell did the joke, and I won't say the comedian he did it to.
Say it. It's my podcast, not Burr's.
I'm not. It's kind of our podcast.
It's our podcast.
It's Bobby's podcast.
I like the word kinda. Yeah.
No, we have the same color windscreen, Joe. We're on the same level. This is like military. Bob is the red one to let you know that the big steaming
cunts
in the
comic,
room.
It was a comic who's sober. And he's been sober for a long time. And we all went to a bar after a show to hang out. And Jeff Caldwell goes up to the bar and gets a gin and tonic. And he turns and he sips it. And he looks at the guy and he goes, why would you give this up? It's so delicious. Such a fucking dickhead thing to do to a sober guy.
Bobby's a good sober guy. He doesn't bring it up. Although if you open the door to it, Jesus.
I don't fucking.
Jesus.
I just don't get it. I don't care. I don't give a fuck that people do it. I just don't get it.
Don't get what?
Fucking alcohol. It doesn't taste good.
Oh, Bobby.
It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good.
It's like caviar.
Your tongue immediately goes, ugh. When you take a sip of hard alcohol, you can't drink it like
you were the girl drink drunk. You used to drink like peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
No, I used to.
You drank peppermint schnapps. You've talked to me about peppermint schnapps.
Try drinking peppermint schnapps straight out of the fucking bottle. One sipping half of a pint. That's the way I used to drink. I didn't fucking get a cup. I used to take the cap, throw it in the garbage, and one sip a half pint. That's what I did.
That's badass, man.
I didn't like it.
Remember Sinatra and Dean Martin? They used to get that peppermint schnapps.
Frankie, baby.
And SoCo. I used to drink SoCo. I used
pussy
to
shit.
Wild Irish Rose.
Puss is all pussy shit, dude.
Wild Irish Rose? That's bum juice.
That sounds like a fucking musical.
That's actually whiskey and wine mixed. It's $2.50 a bottle.
Yeah, they took the bite out of it.
I love that you guys are fucking calling me a pussy.
Big time.
I was 13 drinking fucking hard alcohol.
Passing
and I was
a
pussy because I wasn't drinking it in a tumbler.
I drank two ice cubes.
Pass a bottle
you just
of
said,
absinthe around an open fire, then I'll talk to you.
Everything he listed, tried once in my teens, and I thought it sucked. I just thought it sucked. Like I had a buddy of mine, he used to drink that peppermint schnapps shit. It was just like...
Oh, it was fucking awful. It was awful. But the reason why I drank peppermint schnapps.
But it wasn't awful because of the bite. It was awful because it was like pure cane sugar.
The reason why I drank it was because it was cheaper than Jack Daniels or whiskey.
Why'd you get peach schnapps, for Christ's sake?
I was 13. I didn't have a fucking job.
Same price, I'm saying.
No, I didn't fuck with peach. I don't like peach. I don't like peach anything.
I wonder you got picked on. Maybe you didn't drink like a girl.
I didn't fucking get picked on. I got picked on before I drank, you fucking dickhead. I would have loved to bump into you fucking Newton cock.
Admit it. You drank a bottle of Scope once, and that's all you fucking did.
Neither one of you guys started drinking until you were fucking legal.
I
just said that. I just want to see your dumb face when I said it.
I
drank when I was 10.
Now, listen, I agree with you that hard alcohol, of course you can't drink it the way you drink iced tea, but you're not supposed to, dude. It's an acquired taste, and you're not supposed to drink
it like that.
But
I don't get the, you came down Saturday night.
I don't get either one of you.
I've never seen him. He comes, you could tell when he was drunk. Because Joe usually comes down the cellar and he's, hey, what's up? He's got the fucking 11 in between his eyes. Little fucking wrinkle. Because he's, he came down. I've never seen him. He's like an angel. Eyes wide, smiling, waving to people. Hey, what's up, man? Because he was drunk. He had a buzz going. And I just don't get that. I don't get being different.
Why? Were you a mean drunk? You become even meaner?
I was a violent drunk, yeah. I was a violent drunk. I did a lot of bad shit.
How you're looking at me like I'm surprised by this behavior.
But I bet you did some bad shit, too, when you drank.
No, I was a happy drunk.
When you were a kid?
I was a happy drunk. No,
you drank in the woods, right?
I did silly shit. Dude, first of all, I grew up in the safe suburbs, so it's just like there was nothing really to get in trouble with. You know what I mean? You'd fucking whatever throw a rock through a window. That was considered badass where I was. There was no, like, dude, you were out there like robbing stores and shit.
Yeah, but I never wanted to do it though. The kids I hung with fucking did all that shit, and they'd beat me up too. They'd fucking beat the shit out of you.
You probably deserved it.
Two of them. I was at the Cellar 2 years ago. I'm just about to go on, and two of them showed up. My friends from when I was drinking back in the day. Two of them showed up fucking hammered. And right. They were like, kid, their voices were all Boston scratchy. Kid, where are you fucking? We saw your fucking name. You fucking lunatic. You fuck. And they're fucking hugging me and kiss. Dude, you going on fucking now? I was like, oh my God, what right. the fuck? And I'm like, I'm going on right now. If you guys hang here, I'll be done in 15 minutes. And I was almost like, I didn't know if this was cool or fucking, you know, this was bad, you know? Right. And of course, I got off stage. They were gone. They were fucking gone. They couldn't fucking wait to go to another bar. I haven't seen them since.
One of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me like that was I was doing dinner theater when I first started doing comedy.
What kind of dinner theater?
It was called The Sopranos. And very nice people. And it was actually a fun show to do. But, you know, dude, it's dinner theater. It's hammy. And it's not
seems like
it'd
be right in your wheelhouse, Joe.
But, you know, I had to dress
the Parmesan?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I had to dress like a Goomba and go do table work. Go table to table. People were eating. And we did
and
this.
You know the guy who doesn't like to fucking be friendly with the guy at Subway?
Well, I was acting.
Did you get upset? Yeah. Did you get upset with, like, where your name was in the brochure?
I'll tell you a hilarious story, though. I think I've told you this before.
Did you feel you had enough credit in that show?
No, I did not. And that's why I walked. Yeah. But we had a big New Year's Eve show at this huge hotel one night. And I'm doing the table work, and I get to a table, and I realize it's all these guys I went to high school with. And my friend Keith jumped up, and he grabbed me, he pulled me aside, and he goes, "You're fucking nuts for doing this. I fucking love it, dude. Let's get wasted." Like, you know, and he thought it was cool. But
Thank God.
It wasn't like a fun. Here's the funniest story, though, dude.
Thank God.
I think I've told Bill this off air before. So one of the characters in the show was named, they wrote this new character because it was a comedy show called Cousin Petey, and he was Tony's gay cousin that they never talked about on the TV show.
Yeah.
Because he was gay. And so Petey would be the hit of every show. He'd kill everybody. It was everybody's favorite character, right? So this kid.
Can't follow the over-the-top gay guy.
Yeah.
That's just always going to kill.
This kid, Lev. He was just like a regular dude, but he was just doing this shit like, fuck it, whatever, man. You know, you make money. So they started making him be Petey. And he would do it, and he's doing it one night, and he's at a table doing, like, the gay jokes, and this guy keeps going, "Hey, you fucking fruit. Hey, go get me a drink, you fucking queer, you fucking pansy," right? He's trashing him. Like, Lev goes over to the guy and leans down into his ear, and he goes, "Hey, dude, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is a fucking show. I'll beat the fucking shit out of you." Right? Cody comes out of character, threatens the guy.
You told me that.
They report him fired immediately. Just booted
out
of the show.
Dude, I love that piece of shit establishment that the other guy, "Hey, you fucking queer. Hey, you fag," like that guy. "I'm sorry, sir. We'll take care of your entree." He's allowed to be a complete homophobe. That was the point of that comment.
Well, it was.
Listen, guys, it's almost 12. I have to get
this
up early.
We got
to
wrap this fucking thing up. This is the first live You Know What Do podcast. Billy Burr. When is Letterman happening?
Thursday
night.
11:30. For drummers out there, it ends with Dennis Chambers doing a drum solo.
And Billy Burr is going to be on Letterman, and
that's
you fucking
right.
killed it. Your third one.
Sixth.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me, dude?
No.
I don't know.
I'm an old guy.
I've never done one.
Please don't take that out on your wife.
You know, Brill called me one time and said, "The guys, producers want to see you for fucking Letterman." I was like, great. I never went to him. And then they saw me. Time went by, 2 months. And then I called him. I go, "Hey, you want to do this?" And he goes, "Well, I'm doing a showcase tonight. Come down." And then he was like, "Yeah, dude, that one's good. That one's good." But, you know, blah, and he blew me off. And I just was like, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's there's shows that I've tried to get on and I never get on. It's just
yeah, but you know what bugged
is.
Me about it is that I never even thought about getting on it. And then they called me and I was like, okay, cool. And it got your hopes up.
Oh, yeah.
And then they shut you right the fuck
I've been
down.
There.
I've never done it. I've never done a legitimate set on nighttime television.
Joe, do you have any Live at Gotham stories you'd like to share with us?
No. I got... No, like everything else I do, I did literally the last episode of the last season of Premium Blend, and then they were like, we're going to make it better. Live at Gotham next year.
Oh, that's
year.
Right. You did Premium Blend.
I always do
that.
Something
Jesus,
at the
Joe's,
very
Joe's
end.
Joe's been around. Mm. At the very old, end. You did Premium Blend. You're that fucking old.
I did Premium Blend, too.
I've done, but I'm like you. I've never done any late night. I just submitted, and I can't. It just
I did
never works. I never,
Conan,
I did
they
Carson,
called me one
it.
Night for Conan at Stand Up New York. They said, listen, Conan auditions tonight. We'd love to have you come down, close the show, and have you, you know, Conan people see you. I go up, waiting. The last guy goes up. As soon as he's done, everybody from Conan gets up and leaves as they're bringing me up. And I lied on the stage. And I was just like, why? I was just like, why me, God? Why me?
Jesus Christ.
And then I stood up. I go, I'm doing this set anyways. I prepared this set. I'm going to do this 4-minute set right now for you.
Why did they leave?
And I did it, and it fucking killed. It was so perfect. They just left because they weren't there to see me.
Oh.
They set it up. They lied to me like they were there to see me, right? They just wanted me to close the fucking show out.
Dude, I tell you, Bobby had it the fucking, I don't know what the, who you pissed off, or what you did during your non-sober years, but when you first came down to New York, that kind of shit happened to you all the time. Fuck, Bobby fucking, that's why when my fan was shattered, I was just like, what happened? What fucking, what'd they do to you this time, Bob? That's why I was never able to believe that you were sleeping on the couch and were so startled by a doorbell that you woke up in a fluster. And my fan, dude, Joe, I'm telling you, there was no piece of the fan was left. Bigger than like a size of like a half dollar. It was shattered. It's like a fucking train hit it. That was a kill me. You sent me the fan blades and they're like within that little cage. Dude, yeah, I woke up in a fluster.
Something's fishy there.
Shut up. All right. That's it. Joe DeRosa, Joe at JoeDeRosaComedy.com. The podcast at GloryHoleRadio.com. Stitcher. It's on fucking iTunes. Subscribe, all that horse shit. You got any dates coming up, Joe?
Yeah, I'm doing that. My new album comes out on September 6th, and I'm doing a tour through the southeast of the states, September 2nd through like the 18th or something like that. All the dates are listed in the show section of my website, JoeDeRosaComedy.com.
And
please,
Bill,
come
where
out.
Are you next?
I'm at the Stress Factory in New Jersey.
When is that?
This weekend.
Oh, no shit.
Thursday through Sunday.
Fuck yeah. You haven't been around this for a while, right?
Maybe a little over a year. Dude, I've consistently done that club for like 11 years. I love that club.
And let's fucking, you're doing Carnegie Hall, dude.
Yeah, November 11th. I can't believe it.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you wait to see how that affects Joe's ego. He's on that show. You wait how he
handles. Oh, you're on.
Dude, I just feel like the way you have it written, I feel like I'm opening on this show. Is there any way that I could also be on the poster?
Oh, God. I guarantee he's going to want an opener for him. Can you?
No, got a guy
yeah, I got me, him, and Verzi.
Let me do it. Let me open. Let him go up after me.
What? See, it's just mean, though.
Let me go up first. I'll open up. I'll open the show. I'll do
Joe,
15.
It's have you mean. Ever followed the wrath of Bob when Bobby wants? Dude, motherfucker, you did that to me. And I'll never forgive you for that. That time when I was sick.
I had a sitcom. I was not a sitcom. I had a lead role in an hour pilot in San Diego. And I had
a mustache.
I had a mustache. I hadn't done comedy in 2 months. Because we were filming this thing.
Can I tell the story, Bob, before you do your fucking spin on it?
Go ahead.
Bob's shooting a pilot. I call him up. Congratulations. You totally deserve it, dude. Hope it gets picked up, right? I have this gig somewhere down, you know, San Diego area.
Yeah.
I go down there. I'm sick as a dog. I can barely fucking talk. My throat's closing off, whatever. And I say, listen, man, let's hang afterwards. You know, because I was excited that he booked it and was shooting down there. So he goes, dude, I'm going to come by the club. I'll come by the club. So we show up. I can barely even talk. He shows up with like three of his castmates, right, who are on the show. And he goes, dude, is it okay if I do a little bit of time? I go, no problem, Bob. Just don't go over your time and do me a favor. Go easy because I'm talking like, just go easy because I can barely talk, right? He's like, yeah, no problem, dude. He goes up there, Bobby Kelly's fucking greatest hits, yeah. Hamming it up, fucking goddamn fireworks going off. Dude, the look on your face, you were so fucking guilty when you walked off stage. You just... Yeah. You chose those your fucking castmates over me.
You know what, dude? It really, looking back on that, I really didn't want to. Yeah, you're right.
You did. You did.
You're right.
You
but here's the one thing you're
Bobby
leaving out.
Fucking, he leveled this place.
Here's the thing you're leaving out, though. The guy, I've been going down.
The who?
The guy, I've been going down. The guy, I've been going down to that place. Uh-huh. For a couple a year before that, doing these gigs, you know, whatever, it's $100, trying to make some cash. The guy who runs it knew I was on a pilot, and it was the first time somebody actually treated me like,
oh Jesus, like Christ, get to the point.
Hey, you know what, dude, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we were wrapping up the goddamn podcast.
Like 58 just fucking times.
We were up to the
Bobby,
plugs.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Bill,
really
finally
it. I really
finally
appreciate it.
Finally
been trying to get on your podcast forever.
The Burr has come back to the podcast. Joe, thanks for being on, thanks for coming over. This is live.
Thanks.
We're gonna be doing this once a month. Maybe, you know, when we feel like it, we're going to be going live, so watch out for it. It's at gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly. All the information's up there to keep listening to the podcast. And go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and that's it. I'll see you fuckers later. Thanks again for listening to another episode of You Know What Dude podcast on gloryholeradio.com. And make sure to check out all the other shows on the Glory Hole Network. If you're using the Stitcher app, type in the word fart when you register. iTunes users, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If you're a real fan of the show and you want to show your support, go to gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly and hit the donate button. $10 will get you a shout out on the air. $20 will get you my first CD, Robert Kelly Live, not available in stores. If you have any questions, email me at robertkelly@gloryholeradio.com.